Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. Rhi, how are you doing this week?
I am doing great. How are you doing this week, Tara?
I'm good. I'm in the finishing stages of a remodel, so hopefully we'll have a home here, and just excited for today's National Signing Day. So we're taping this on a Wednesday, and just excited for all those kids that get to kind of ink their deals with all of their different universities and colleges. And remember back in the day that this was one of the greatest days that I was a part of as an athlete. So just want to congratulate all those softballers out there that have signed their national letter of intent today.
Yeah, it's an awesome day. I don't remember us having, we didn't have the early, this is kind of technically the early signing day. And it's also, they changed it so much now that it now opens a whole signing window. So things have changed, but the whole point is like just having a day where you can finally make it official is such an exciting thing for these kids. And we all know this day is different than past years because of COVID and you can't get these big ceremonies together. But I still encourage, no matter if you're signing with a JUCO, which, you know, I mean, or pretending to sign with the D3 since there's technically no national letter of intent, even if it's symbolic, this is a huge day and you should be proud. And no matter where you go, it's awesome and celebrate that. And for all the people out there that maybe haven't found a program yet that are seniors, keep the faith. There's still room for you. There's all kinds of stories over the years of kids finding, you know, signing late, finding spots late. So don't be discouraged if you see others celebrating today. Be happy and then your time will come and be patient. But it's an awesome day. And anytime you can use a sport to help your education and grow you as an individual by going to college is a day we should all celebrate.
Yes. And remember, everybody has a different path. So, you know, you're not always going to go on the same path. And pretty excited about our guests today. We've got two great guests that are going to give you some insight on, you know, their experiences as athletes, two different experiences, but excited to have them on the show today. But let's get into our weekly news. We released some fall reports this week. We had Michigan, Washington, and Ole Miss. Rhi, what did you hear from Hutch over there at Michigan for the upcoming season and what they've been doing this fall?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites to always talk with, you know, Carol Hutchins over at Michigan. She's just the OG, her and Mike Candread going back and forth with the all-time wins record, back and forth, back and forth. Michigan, I mean, they're one of the programs that really has a smaller roster than everyone else. I mean, they're almost normal, which is, you know, now we're hearing upwards towards 30. So they're pretty much, you know, it's not status quo, of course, but like they're not dealing with huge roster size or anything like that. She's really excited just on the progress the team has made from some of the, you know, like having Megan Boubian back in the circle, which is, she's obviously a stud, you know, thrower, and getting her back to, you know, she said last year she was a little rusty to start and then she started to come into her own, and she's seeing now she's really starting to click again, which is a great sign for Michigan. They're going to need her really working on the offense, and their offense was a little bit like not as dynamic last year is a good way to put it. They weren't hitting
very down year for Michigan's offense. Yes. This year, not a typical Michigan offense.
And granted, they did play some tough teams and face some tough pitching, but just trying to work on that and get that back. They're excited about some of their new freshmen coming in, which read the fall report to get some insight on some of the, what she says about those freshmen. But yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't, Michigan has a standard. We know that they're a proud program and that's what they're working to get towards. But the thing that really resonated with me is, you know, Hutch has a lot of perspective and she understands what's taking place right now. And she gives a lot of grace to her players in terms of what they've gone through. And she just senses like this renewed enthusiasm just to be able to practice and be able to play. And we've heard that a lot from a lot of people, but she says this is probably the most excited she's ever seen a team. And she's really hoping that can carry over. Fingers crossed we get games this spring. But she's very, you know, very hopeful and very excited about what she's seen. And, you know, they've got some solid, you know, their pitching is firmed up. They've got everyone returning there that is meaningful innings. So that's always a key. And they've got some incoming arms that she's hoping will help. But yeah, you can read the rest of the fall report. We don't want to spoil everything, but just the takeaway, the main takeaway was just that she's very, she's energized, you know, and she, believe me, she sounds like someone who, that the team has really helped her to get, because she's one that cares about a lot of issues outside of just softball, and she internalizes it, and she's a really caring individual. So I think this team has really helped her to kind of channel her energy and get some good positive feelings, you know, despite everything that's been going on in our country the last few months. And I think that's really helped her through this. And she's really grateful just to be able to still be coaching.
Yeah. So check out that Michigan Fall Report. It's on the site. Subscribe. We've got a discount happening right now. Fall 20 is the discount code. So head on over and get that annual subscription to read the Michigan Report. Washington's on there as well. I spoke to Coach Heather Tarr, and, you know, anytime you can have Morgan Flores back, Sis Bates, Taryn Attlee, I think it's going to be a good year for them. You've got a huge staff. Gabby Plain is actually still in Australia, so she won't be back over here until January. She was trying out for the Australian Olympic team. So she'd stayed over back home, but sounds like she'll be back over here in January. And they've got some exciting new freshmen coming in, super athletic class coming in, and then another arm. So check out that fall report on Washington. And without further ado, oh, we've got some coaching news. We've got our last coaching carousel kind of left. Yes, so far.
Who knows? Last. It's the latest.
The latest. We still got Northridge. I think they've gone through their first round of interviews. So keep an eye on that Northridge head coaching job. There should be some interesting people that are going up for that Northridge coaching job. Any idea, Ree, who we've got going over there?
You're the one that gave me a whole bunch of names, so don't throw it at me. You can name names if you want. I know you're following it. I'm following it closely, but I can't confirm any of the names for sure. I maybe you can. And if you want to disclose those, fine. But all I've heard is off the record stuff, which I never say that to people out loud. I keep that confidentiality. So
we'll keep you updated on Twitter as soon as we have it confirmed. So we'll keep all of our fans updated on that. And with that said, we're going to go to our interviews. Ree, who do we got today?
Well, we got the pleasure of speaking with Oklahoma redshirt senior Nicole Mendez, who, as many remember, is just a, you know, standout player, starred in all the Women's College World Series, but got injured last fall, the ACL injury. You know, everyone pretty much assumed that maybe the 2020 season wasn't for her. She ended up coming back and getting some at-bats, but then coronavirus shut it down. But just wanted to speak to her about kind of getting back on the field this fall and the 1 year anniversary of that injury and kind of how she's feeling. And just talk to her about going through that process and why that she decided to come back and, just her perspective. And it's really a great story, an awesome person, and someone that you really, really want to listen to because she's got so much insight into the game and into that, you know, into what it takes to be at that level and what it's like to play in that Oklahoma program that was the number one in, you know, on our D1 softball all-time decade list and playing for Coach Patty Gasso over there. So yeah, it's a great interview. I think our guests listeners are really going to love it and gain some insight from Nicole.
All right, so let's take it away. We're going to go over to Nicole Mendez.
And we are welcomed with our guest, Oklahoma redshirt senior Nicole Mendez. Nicole is a stud for the Sooners, as we've learned. She is coming off a season in which she recovered from an injury to come back for a few at-bats before coronavirus kind of cut it off for everyone. So dating back to 2019, her stats were unbelievable. She batted that year 348, 39 RBIs, Women's College World Series All-Tournament team in 2017 and 2019. Part of this just amazing run by the Sooners, our number one team of the decade, as we had in our rankings. So we are really, really thankful to have you in and kind of give us some insight into what's going on. So I appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It's fun to stop on by. So yeah.
Well, let's dig right in. I mean, being back, it's a very strange for everyone. You a year ago today, probably, I don't know the exact date, but in that time frame, suffered a pretty gnarly knee injury there, to say the least. So you're back on you got back on the field in the spring, and, you know, kind of got your, I guess, dipped your toes in the water, so to speak. But now it's kind of been a full year. You're back out there. how does it feel? Have you had any mental hurdles? Did you have to like get through a few practices, or was that fine? Did you have any reservations or any kind of like flashbacks or anything once you got on the field this fall for workouts?
Yeah. I can't believe it's been over a year. On Snapchat, some of the memories popped up and I was like, holy cow, like there I was in that big old brace. But it's been really fun to be able to get back out. I think that was like the biggest thing that I was looking forward to, is just being able to go out and play on the field again and just not have any regrets with it. And I know the first couple practices were a little weird just because I never got to do defense whenever I came back in the spring. I was only hitting. So that was a little weird, the first couple of fielding and throws and gap shots and things like that. But I don't know. A trainer's been awesome. Coach has been awesome. Team's been awesome. So being able to kind of feel my way back into it, I progressed pretty quickly. But with COVID and everything, it's been weird. We wear masks during practice. It's been different for sure. But I think this year has been so much fun. Just as a team, I've had probably one of the best falls that I've had, just getting to know everybody. And if you're a softball player in college, you know, fall is not fun. It can be, but it's a grind all the way through. It is a real grind. So to genuinely be able to say I've had so much fun this fall, just inner squads and just getting to know our teammates and things like that, has been really, really cool to say.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. And I think we've heard kind of, you know, through with a lot of people, is that as grinding as it is, just the gratitude to be back on the field, and you doubly now, you know, with COVID and with the knee injury, it's got to be double for you. I did an article on you on our site that people can go back to during the summer, just kind of like detailing like your decision to come back. Obviously you had an injury thrown in, but you were still determined to play last year, like even though you probably could have redshirted. Tell us on that decision to come back early last year, despite, you know, basically taking like 2 months off of what a normal recovery period looks like. You kind of came back 2 months, you know, early. Why was that such a big decision for you to do that and not just take the whole year off and redshirt? Why did you want to make sure you got in? And now it looks great because now you get that year back anyways. But at the time, take us through that decision process.
Yeah, it was really tough. And it was something that I would go back and forth on pretty much at least 3 times a week ever since I got injured. But I know like the biggest thing for me was I really wanted to finish out my season with G, and I wanted to finish it out with Shannon. This was before G got hurt. But even after she did, like I wanted to finish it out with that team, with that freshman class, with that sophomore and junior class. I wanted to just fight it through. Like I wanted to fight for them, and I wanted to be able to play with them and say like, okay, like we did it, like we grinded through. It was a special group, and there was a lot of learning curves that year, but I kind of wanted to help them along, and I wanted to show them that I'm going to be all in, and them show me that they're all in, and just kind of have that teammate surrounding teammate kind of thing. I don't even know how to describe it, but I just knew like in my gut, like I didn't want to cop out. And yeah, it would have been easier to take the red shirt right away, but I wanted to come back and I wanted to show everyone like I'm here for this team, like this is my team kind of thing.
Yeah. And as we, you know, with the extra eligibility being granted to seniors, you and G, both G Wara as the pitcher, let's just, in case people are like living under a rock and don't understand Oklahoma's pitcher, G Wara, as we'll get the last name. You both were struggling, you know, with not being at 100%, let's put it that way, and not knowing if that would be something you could play the season. COVID is not been a good thing. I mean, well, you know, to everyone, it's not been great, but for you guys, it was kind of a blessing in disguise in the sense that you got that, but you're back. Did you guys talk, the three of you seniors? Was it pretty much like within minutes you knew you were going to take the advantage of that? Or how did that conversation go to decide to come back for another year?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that the three of us have in common is that we love the game. And the second biggest thing that we have in common is we're all super competitive. And so whenever we talked about it, it wasn't even, are you going to come back? It's like, when are we going to announce it? We all knew that if we could have another year, another chance to play in OU, like in that uniform in the crimson and cream with coach, with those, the teammates that we have with the incoming freshmen, like we wanted to take it and to compete again for the chance of a national championship. And then for Gian Shannon to compete, to get it and actually win it. Like that was all of our goal. Like we're hungry, like we're ready for it. And 8 months ago to now, the feeling's still the same. We are even more grateful to the NCAA for allowing us to get that extra year. But in my mind, like it wasn't a question of, are you going to come back? It's a question of, when do we tell everyone we're coming back?
That's awesome. Yeah. And obviously you guys did it together, which is so appropriate. I think instead of doing it individually, it was kind of the big three coming back, you know, Oklahoma. What's, you know, given all that everyone's been through and then you have the injury on top of it, what is something that you really learned maybe about yourself about through this experience? What have you gained from the injury recovery and the coronavirus and everything that we've gone through as a country these last few months?
Yeah. Injury wise, the biggest thing that I've learned as a player, as a person, as a teammate is how to be patient and more understanding. I've really had to learn the game, and it's easy whenever you're on the field and you take a couple reps off, or like you're hurt for a couple weeks and then you come back on. Like you don't have to be as patient. You don't have to sit and really study the game as hard as you would if you're just forced to be on the sidelines. And that was something that really brought me to the next level. But since we talked in the summer and just being able to be fully back on the field and really be playing again, I think another thing that I really learned is like my confidence. I feel so much more steady and confident in myself and in my teammates, no matter like how they're doing the day before or the weeks before. I know like, oh, this is the big hit. Like this is whenever it's going to come through. Like I feel so confident in my abilities, but also in theirs. Like we're here at Oklahoma for a reason. Coach doesn't recruit people by accident. She recruits people who are great and they have that potential. So it's just a matter of when, not if kind of thing. So that's been really cool to feel myself individually and for my teammates. But for the country thing, it's been crazy. It's been a crazy couple of months. It's been a crazy election. But I think it's been really awesome to be able to have these conversations with our team. We've had some pretty deep conversations as a team with and without coach, just kind of about the racial issues. We even talked politics a little bit. But the cool thing is we are able to understand where everyone's coming from, because we were all raised in different areas of the United States. We're all raised with different backgrounds, different families, different experiences. And the biggest thing is like, no matter what, at the end of the day, like we love each other genuinely. And while we might not agree all the time, we genuinely love each other and we're able to love each other even if we don't agree. So I think that is something that has been so precious to me, to be able to get out of all the turmoil and all the hate and all the craziness that's been going on, is like at the end of the day, like my team, like we love each other and we have each other's back. So that's been really cool.
That is one of the qualities about sports I really love. I mean, it's obviously not like every team, some team has issues like that, but most teams, you bring together people from different backgrounds, different upbringings, and it's the greater good, right? And I think if we all were on a sports team, I think our country might, you know, be a little bit more understanding of stuff. I think if everyone had played sports. So that's awesome to hear, because especially where you're going to school. I mean, there's different areas. You're coming from a different area. You know, Oklahoma recruits nationally. Not everyone's going to be think the same. And the fact that you can discuss it and not, you know, hate each other after it, that's awesome. And good for you guys for discussing it, because it's not easy. It's easier to avoid that sort of stuff, right? But And tell us a little bit about that program. I mean, you guys were the number one program, in which was no surprise, for our last decade. So we had that, you know, that ran throughout the summer. What is it like to be in that program? What do you think makes it so successful from your perspective? You've been in it as much as everyone and had as much success. From you, what really is it about that program that makes it have that success and enables it to do what it does on a yearly basis?
I think the biggest thing is we treat each other like a family. And in my mind, at least the family that I come from, is whenever you're in a family, like, there's the values, there's the expectations, there's the love, but there's also, like, my parents pushed me beyond belief, but it was because they loved me, it was because they knew I could get there. That's the best way to describe how this team is and how this program is and how we treat each other is we love each other and we're a family and we'll get together and we'll hang out, but also we know where each other can be and we know the expectations and we know the standard. And if you're not meeting the standard, then we're going to love you, but we're going to push you to get to the standard. And I think it's really easy sometimes to be able to be like, oh, like, I'm going to take a day off and take a couple weeks off, whatever it is. And there's days when I'm not feeling it or teammates not feeling it, but we just know, okay, whatever I have today, like, I'm going to give 100% of that today. Like I said, fall's been a grind, but to really see how our team has really pushed and come above and beyond, that's something that's not an exception to this fall. It's something that happens every fall. It's something that happens every year, every postseason when our legs are dead and we're just kind of dying at that point. That's something that I feel like really sets this program apart from a lot of other programs, is that continuous expectation. And then whenever the newcomers and all those guys come in, like, it's already set. There's no question, there's no doubt about where we're going or what it's supposed to look like. It's set and they just kind of fall in, and it's cool to see how quickly the freshmen aren't freshmen anymore. By the time the fall ends, they're veterans, they're experienced, they're ready to go. So, yeah.
Now, you obviously, you know, softball is your, is a big part of your life. It's always been, but you know, you're, it's going to end at some point, as we all know. What are your career aspirations beyond softball? What do you really want to do with your life? Once you have to get into, you know, working world, so to speak.
Yeah. I'm trying to put that off a little bit longer, but, yeah, whenever I'm currently getting my master's degree in human relations, and something, a dream of mine, would be to kind of break into the world of like interviews and like ESPN 30 for 30s, that kind of thing, like documentaries. I love talking to people and I love getting to hear their stories. And I think the coolest thing for me, like the highest calling that I could do, is be able to sit down and have a conversation with someone and just say, hey, like, what's your story? And then be able to convey that in a way that really shows others what that person is about, to highlight what makes them special, what makes them them. That to me would be the coolest thing that I could ever do. So that is currently the goal. We'll see how it ends up, but that's what I'd like to do.
Well, we're all for that, being that we are in the media space. So that's a definitely a great life goal in our opinion. We'll welcome you. You'll be the Big 12 Oklahoma correspondent for us anytime you want during the season. If that's we can help you. You're already very good at speaking. We don't need to help you, but you can come on here and practice more anytime you want throughout the season.
Well, shoot, I appreciate it.
Well, we'll let you off on this. We try to end it with just some stuff that maybe gets a window into you a little bit more. Who would you say in your life has been the biggest inspiration for you, whether it be softball or otherwise?
The biggest inspiration. Do I have to pick just one?
You can pick as many as you want. This is your podcast episode, so you go for it.
Three people come to mind. First is Jesus, like, his life, like, the way he lives, like, that's how I try to live out my life. As a person, as an athlete, anywhere else, he loved everybody. And like, that's how I want to be. Like, I want to love everybody. Like, if you ask someone about me, I want them to say, like, man, like, Nicole, like, she loves people. Like, she's genuine, she's real. So I think that's like my biggest life goal overall. The second would be my mom. She's awesome. So growing up, I was homeschooled and she taught me everything. And her and I are really, really close. She's probably the funniest person I know. She always makes fun of me, but I love her. And she's always pushed me to become better. And she's always pushed me to reach for things that I didn't even think that I could accomplish and finish. And like, if I'm half as good as a mom as she is, like, I think that'd be pretty cool. And then the third person would be coach, coming in as a freshman. And then like now as like a fifth year senior, it's like, holy cow, the growth every year. I think I said like, holy cow, like I've grown so much as a person. Like, I don't even know how I can top this next year. And then I say the same thing next year. And she's been a huge part of that and just transforming me from a girl into a woman, ready to go out into the real world and make an impact, and ready to mentor these girls who are coming in as freshmen, and talk to them and help shape them into the athletes that they want to be and the people that they want to be, and like help them understand that they have a platform and what they're using it for. I just want to share that the way Coach has shared that with me. So that's been pretty, pretty cool. Yeah. Those are my top three.
That's a great top three. That's a, that's awesome. So we really appreciate it. This has been great. We know you've got to, you know, probably get to one of those fall workouts coming pretty soon, you know, the end of them before you get home for Thanksgiving. I'm sure your mom will have a really good spread back there in Houston area, right? I'm hoping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Social distance, I guess, you know, not too many family, just enough family members to eat all the food, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We appreciate over there in Thanksgiving.
Well, we appreciate it. And again, the invitation's open. We're going to definitely talk to you more as, you know, fingers crossed, we can hopefully get on the field for real, playing real games in spring. We won't jinx it, but we'll definitely have you back, and we appreciate all your insight. It's great. And we could talk to you for hours, but we'll let you go now, and we'll definitely be calling you again, though. Do you keep that phone line open for the D1 softball podcast? Okay.
Definitely will. All right. Thank you guys. I appreciate you.
All right. And welcome our second guest, Haley Cruz, on the D1 softball podcast. Haley's a 373 career hitter and scored 30 runs last year in the shortened 2020 season, which I find really incredible because they played just 24 games. So tough out for any opposing pitcher. Oregon Duck, center fielder. She's in for her super senior season there up in Oregon. Haley, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me on.
And today is National Signing Day for a lot of recruits, softballers. And we just wanted to kind of go through your story, Haley, because I saw a tweet from you yesterday just reminding kids that just because they're not the highest ranked, you know, shortstop or second baseman or center fielder or pitcher in their class, that you had a different recruiting path. So I'd love for you to speak about your experience and when you were being recruited, where were you wanting to go? What were you looking at in terms of school choice when you were being recruited?
I never really envisioned myself being at a star softball school. Like, softball wasn't really my main priority when I was getting recruited. I was very big about academics, and I wanted to go somewhere that supported my academic goals and allowed me to play softball. So I kind of was thinking of softball as my way to get the education that I wanted. So I wasn't a highly touted recruit. I wasn't ranked in the top 100 or anything like that. So I was just looking to go somewhere to further my education. And that was my primary goal when I was recruiting. So originally I was looking at places like Northeastern, like Stanford, and they're great softball schools too, but my primary goal is education. So my dream school when I was being recruited was Stanford. So I had a pretty I was a late bloomer, and my growth spurt did not come in eighth grade or my freshman year when a lot of people were getting recruited at that time. I know rules have changed now, so it's a little bit different, but I didn't really have that it factor that separated me from the rest. Like, I didn't throw 70 miles an hour. I didn't hit the ball 300 feet. So I kind of had to rely on my athleticism and kind of rely on what people were saying about me. So I had to always be at the top of my game, and I had to be consistent or else I wasn't going to stand a chance. So that was kind of my main goal when I was being recruited, was to just be consistent. And I brought myself to a lot of camps because that was where I figured that I showed out the most, was like in a setting like that. And it was all about performing when the coaches came out to see me. Like if I was playing against a girl who threw 70, like I would need to show out because you know there's going to be a lot of coaches there. But yeah, I would say I had a really different recruiting experience, but you know, it obviously I ended up committing to Stanford my sophomore year. I had to wait to see grades and all that. And obviously that is not where I am right now.
Oregon wasn't your first choice. It was Stanford. Okay. So walk me through that. So you commit to Stanford as a sophomore, correct? So yes. You commit to Stanford. Now walk me through from your sophomore season in high school, how did you then become an Oregon Duck? And this was under Mike White as well, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So walk me through that.
Yeah, I was never originally recruited by Oregon. They were what I viewed as the top tier softball school. And like I said, I didn't really see that for myself in the future. So I committed to Stanford knowing that that is where I wanted to go academically. And I was excited for that opportunity. And I was committed there all the way up until a week before NLI signing day. So my future had been very set on Stanford. Like that was what I had always wanted. And that is where I thought I was going to go. And that's just, I had my whole future planned out and Stanford was part of the deal. So when I found out a week before signing day, I wasn't admitted into Stanford academically, which was a huge blow for me because that was always like my primary goal was academics. And I think I started to stray away from that a little bit. But I found out a week before signing day that I wasn't admitted to the school. And it was a huge blow. It was like my entire future had been flipped. And at that age, like it seems like the end of the world because there's no like hindsight. It's just like what you have right in front of you. And so that was a big blow. And I didn't know where I was going to go next. So luckily my travel ball coach went out of his way to help me get everything figured out because I was not in the mental headspace to even think about what comes next. Like I was just so distraught about Stanford, but he went out of his way and made a bunch of phone calls and got me set up with a few different visits and Oregon was one of them. They had never seen me play before. So they were relying strictly on my reputation and what people had heard about me and what people were saying about me. And there weren't any newspapers writing about me. I'm saying what my coaches were saying about me. So they really relied on people's word and they heard that I was fast and I was athletic. So they let me it was almost a walk-on position. It was very minimal scholarship, but they were willing to take me that late in the game, which is something like I couldn't have imagined a school like Oregon even having any room left that late in the game. So that's how I ended up there. And I was very excited about it. And it was a really quick turnaround. I ended up signing on signing day, just not to the school that I had anticipated.
So you did sign on signing day, just in a completely different school than you thought.
Yeah, complete 180.
Wow. So you get there and Mike White's your coach. So your freshman season, you played a little bit your freshman season. Talk to me about your transition from being under Coach White to now being under Coach Lombardi. I know there was a bit of a transition there, but you know, that's another obstacle that you kind of had to go through, not only through your recruiting process, but maybe talk a little bit about that transition and how you were able to manage that and how, you know, kids going through a coaching transition or just in any obstacle in general right now in terms of being a softball player, how did you get through that kind of transition?
Yeah, a coaching change is something that you just never anticipate. And I know a lot of people commit to coaches over schools and I would highly advise against that because you know, you want to be somewhere where you're happy no matter who's coaching you there. I know coaches can play a large part and I understand that aspect, but you just have to know that it's never a guarantee that they're always going to be there. So I think the coaching change at Oregon was a little unprecedented in the fact that we lost a majority of our roster. We lost
the entire team.
Yeah, our entire starting roster from the year before. So that was a little overwhelming to overcome. And it was a lot of adversity. And that was kind of our theme for that year, was just overcoming adversity. I think we had 12 players on the team in January, and we weren't even sure if we were going to be able to field a team. So we held walk-on tryouts. We took everyone who tried out. And our motto that year was just like, keep pushing through. Like, no one expected us to even be on the field. And I think that is what motivated us the most that year. And it really like helped create our team culture that we have now and really brought us together as a team. And I think honestly, no matter how hard that year was, like that is what made us stronger. And that's why we are where we are right now. So I think that adversity is inevitable, especially in college sports. And being able to handle adversity and to learn from it and to grow from it is the most important thing that I've learned throughout college.
And like you said, I was able to actually watch you all in the shortened 2020 season. And you can tell your team is so, so close and so connected and just super fun to watch. I mean, you put the ball in play, you run the bases well. I mean, it seems like everybody's on the bases like every inning. And when I talked to coach, he's just, you know, we scored almost every first inning. And when we didn't, I was just like, hey, what happened, guys? Like, why haven't we scored this inning? So I would say that adversity, and now you kind of gelled. So talk to me a little bit about when this 2020 season kind of came to an abrupt halt, because I mean, you all are at 22-2 and just on a complete roll and just having a ton of fun from an outsider's perspective. It just looked like you all are having just a great time on the field. Talk to me about kind of that next hurdle that you've had to go through and coming back. How old are you now? 24?
I'm 22.
Oh, 22.
Okay. Up there, though.
Yeah, I'm adding years to you. The grandma on the team. Yeah, talk to me a little bit about that.
That is just something that you could not even write up if you tried. We were really, really excited to be having the success that we were having, especially after the year prior. So it was a huge blow for us, and not knowing if we were going to get that season back was really, really especially hard for the seniors. And I'm so glad that we did, because now we just have this foundation and to build off of. And I know we were all just so excited to get back with each other. And it was a hurdle, but it's just another one of those things that we said, you know what, we've been dealing with adversity as long as Coach Lombardi has been here, and we have gotten through it every single time. So this is just another test for us, and this is just going to make us come back stronger.
And during the fall, so you've actually been able to practice, which some teams haven't actually been back on the field. Talk to me a little about the incoming freshmen. Talk to me about the team culture, and what is it like kind of welcoming them in to play at the Jane?
They're very excited to be here, and I know that our team is so excited to have them and to have this kind of depth that we haven't had before. It's really cool to see everyone competing at practice. But we were just a very open arms mentality. We know that this year is very unorthodox, and I couldn't imagine being a freshman coming in this year. Like, being a freshman is hard enough as it is, but with school shut down and all of that, trying to make friends can be really overwhelming. So we've really gone out of our way to make them feel included and to make them feel like a part of this team. And that's just been a big part of our culture from day one. So they fit in really nicely. They're doing really well. They're shocking us all and keeping us all on our toes and making us all work hard for our spots. And even the spots that you'd think were solidified, like, we have a lot of competition going on right now, and it's really cool to see at practice.
And that must be a little bit difficult because of all the COVID restrictions. How are you all doing team bonding activities, or are you able to kind of do that? Is there something maybe that you can share that you all were able to do, because, you know, you can't gather in large groups. So how are you guys dealing with that aspect of it?
We have had to get very creative with this. I think that's been the most challenging part, is figuring out. We usually have a team retreat every year. So like, not being able to do that That's like a big way for us to get to know each other. So we've really had to go out of our way to find creative ways to really get to know each other. Like, we switch up our throwing partners every day so that you're throwing with someone new every day. We get in small groups and set up like a hike or something with one of our coaches and a few players. So like, we have a lot of little ways that we're trying to make everyone comfortable and get to know the newbies. So it's definitely been a transition, but it's something that we've welcomed, and it's something that I think will help us in the future too.
And everybody knows you as TikTok sensation, but I want to know, what do people not know about Haley Cruz? Like, is there something that the world doesn't know about you that you could share, or is it pretty much like you see what you get? Or you get what you see?
It's pretty much that. I think I'm pretty transparent online, which is something that I've always wanted, is to just be authentic online. But sometimes I think my personality can come off a little stronger online than it really is in person. I think a lot of people are surprised when they meet me at how mellow I can be. But I do like to have a lot of fun, and that's kind of just been my MO. But I definitely think that I'm a little more down to earth than people might think I am based on my online presence.
And so during the lockdown during this summer, you're San Diego native, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Were you at home during lockdown, and how did you manage? Were you with family? What was that like? Because I know the training was a little bit different during the summer. How was that for you?
That was really hard because there were not a lot of ways to train and to stay in softball shape. And I knew that I wanted to come back, and I knew that I wanted to build off of the year that I had previously had. So I was a little worried about being able to stay in shape and stay in softball shape, but I just trained with my family, and my boyfriend plays baseball. So that was something that was really helpful throughout quarantine, was that we were able to, you know, keep up with that, play catch, and find resources wherever we could between the both of us.
Great. And last question, what would you say to those girls that are signing their letters of intent today, or maybe some people aren't signing that letter, but are still working towards their dream school or their perfect school fit for them? What would you say to them in this process right now that you wish someone would have said to you?
I wish someone would have told me to stay humble and to stay hungry. Because once you sign your NLI, that's when it begins. That's when you have to work the hardest. Because once you get to college, you might have been the best, but once you get to college, everyone was the best in high school. So you need to make sure that you really find a way to separate yourself, and that's through your work ethic. I preach that all the time, and that took me a year to figure out. I didn't do that my freshman year. And it showed. I didn't get the opportunities and the playing time that I thought I deserved. And truth is, I didn't deserve it. So I hate that it took me so long to have that wake up call, but I would wish someone would have told me that sooner. It's like, it's go time now. You've signed, and that's just the beginning. And if you haven't signed, keep grinding. There's always an opportunity, whether you know it or not, no matter how late in the game it is, there's always a place for everyone.
And I think that's important, especially kids nowadays, in terms of COVID and in terms of everything that's happening, just to kind of stay at it, keep working. And like you said, stay hungry, and know that there are opportunities out there for everybody. And you just got to find the one that's your fit. Well, you know what? Thank you so much, Haley, for joining us. I'm just so happy to have you on. Open invitation to jump back on. Hopefully we can have you on to be one of our Pac-12 correspondents during the year. You can let us know how it's going in the pack. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.